Hydra Dominatus. I could feel your existence, of course, Omegon said to me. We were in a control room in the bowels of the power station, in which he had been hiding, and from whence he would venture out to search for supplies and kill any sloth he encountered. I had always assumed it was the soul of one who made me, but now I see my error. You knew we were created? I asked. I studied his face. It was such a strange sensation, after being surrounded by my gene sons, who had embraced surgical alterations to resemble me, to see a face not my own, that mirrored mine exactly. I possessed a high level of innate deductive reasoning, my twin replied, sufficient to realize that the ruined device from which I'd crawled seemed an unlikely method of natural gestation. I laughed. What world was this on? I do not know its name, Omegon said, slightly wistfully. It had been settled once, but the civilization had died. Despite my best efforts, I was unable to determine how, or even what, they called themselves. I was the only sapient being on the entire planet, so far as I could tell. It wasn't until pirates landed, looking to pick the ruins, that I was able to take to the stars and escape it. Did the pirates not tell you its classification? I asked. Omegon glanced at his weapon, which he called the Sarisonata. They were not in the mood for conversation, or for passengers, so I never got the opportunity to ask. I nodded in understanding. I was able to make short warp jumps using the ship's navigation charts, and slowly began to find my way towards systems inhabited by humans, Omegon continued. I heard rumors of the Imperium and the Emperor. Given the stories about him, I felt certain he would have been the one who created me. I arrived here hoping to find answers, but I'd barely set foot on this world when the invasion began. I leaned forward eagerly. Your ship is warp capable. Omegon laughed bitterly. It is, or at least it was. However, I surmised that arriving in close proximity to an Imperial world in a ship previously crewed by a group of piratical degenerates might cause hostility. The freelance asteroid mining vessels in the Outer Belt are less discerning, however, and I was able to approach one of them to barter for passage to this world. My ship may still be out there, but we would need to get past the Xenos in orbit to get to it, and the shuttle I have here would not survive such an attempt. You have a shuttle? The facility has one. Whether it was intended for emergency evacuation or routine transit, I'm not sure, but the workers here didn't flee in it. Omegon looked around pensively, and I became aware of the stains on the floor. From what I can tell, they died defending their stations. So we have a method of getting into orbit, I said. We do, my twin replied. Should we be able to survive until these beasts have finished their plunder and move on, we might be able to see whether anything is left in orbit that can take us farther afield. At the moment, however, it will do us little good. I smiled at him. Perhaps it is time for me to tell you my history. I spent the next 8 hours telling Omegon everything, and please understand that when I say everything, I am a being with almost perfect memory and an eye for important detail, and my twin understood the concepts I was explaining almost before the words had left my mouth. I did not even have to explain twice the methods I had learned to hide my thoughts. I was giving him my observations of the 11th Legion when I broke off, aware of an intrusive noise. They have found us, Omegon said immediately, flowing to his feet, replacing his helm and snatching up the Sarisonata. Stay behind me. Your armor is already damaged. I was not too proud to obey my twin's instructions as I activated my power spear. Where did you find such war gear? The planet on which I landed, he replied. You do not know its origin? It is a mystery to me. He spun the spear and drew a slight wail from it, as though the air itself was being cut by its edges. I consider the provenance of a tool to be of secondary importance compared to its usefulness. I grinned. I agree completely, brother. The far door burst inwards, and a veritable swarm of warrior constructs poured in. Omegon moved to meet them, but he could not hope to stand against them alone. His blades severed flesh and metal with ease, and his armor shrugged off their weapons, but he would have been bowled over and subdued by their sheer mass had I not been there. that I was there, and I fought with him. We moved as one, back to back, two heads, eight limbs and two spears, and we killed wherever we turned. Omegon would move to intercept a blast intended for me, or punch the Saracenata backwards to impale one about to assault me on the side, where my armour was incomplete. I would cut the legs from under one seeking to flank him, or spear to the ceiling one attempting to leap over me and take him down from behind. When he turned, I shifted with him. When I swung, he ducked. Any other two warriors fighting in such close proximity would have inevitably impeded each other, perhaps even impaled each other, but we fought as one soul in two bodies. Each of us was complete at last, and the constructs were no match for us. They died in their dozens until eventually there were no more to kill. We were both breathing hard. I could hear Omegon's exhalations. They were in time with my own. I can see now why some of our brothers so relish combat, I remarked. It is a different experience when you are whole. A bubbling shriek echoed down the corridor that led to the control room. And now the masters come, Omegon said grimly. They are cowards, once they realize you are their equal. I suspect they knew of my presence before now, but considered me too dangerous to bother with. They must have gathered in numbers for that to have changed. I amplified the auditory sensors in my helm again and listened. Wet, heavy footsteps, the low hiss of voices as they spoke their own foul tongue. The echoes made it difficult to be sure, but... A dozen of them at least, I reported. Omegon's helm turned towards me. They are far more dangerous foes than their beasts. I doubt I could best that many alone. He paused. Still, with you fighting beside me, they don't work together or coordinate their attacks. We might be able to... I have a different idea, I cut in. Can we reach the shuttle you spoke of from here? Omegon moved to the other door at the rear of the room and cracked it open, then listened. Yes, unless there are some this way as well, lying in wait in silence. But we would simply be swapping likely death down here for certain death in the sky. No death is certain until it occurs, I told him. And with us, who knows? Lead on, brother. As you wish, Omegon replied. And so we fled from the sloth. Yes, we fled. Gilliman would perhaps have referred to it as a tactical withdrawal, but semantics are for historians. We might have been mighty primarchs of the Imperium, but we withdrew instead of offering a battle that might have ended us. We fled. Then again, if Rabute had known of this event and known it was me involved, perhaps he would have described it as fleeing, after all. Omegon led me towards the roof, with the cries of our pursuers snapping at our heels. They seemed disinclined to follow too closely, however, perhaps expecting an ambush or wary of how we had destroyed the first wave of their attack. As a result, when Omegon pushed open a hatch atop the last ladder and we climbed out into the night air of Hydana, we were not fighting for our lives. My twin walked to the edge of the building and looked down. On reflection, I feel your plan might have been the wiser one. I joined him. Far below, yet more of the sloth's hideous creations were scuttling or floating towards the power station. The attrition would have ground us down without question. Then let us depart, I replied, and we ran for the shuttle, left on a small landing pad on the northeastern corner. It was not a design familiar to me, presumably a holdover from Bar Savor's pre-Imperium days, kept around since it was still functional. But the controls were logical enough. There are only so many ways in which the human brain can conceptualize and communicate data relaying to flight, after all. It was little more than a skiff, with a two-seater cockpit and a bay behind in which perhaps a dozen regular humans could have stood or sat. I powered it up and checked the well-being of the machine spirit, while Omegon stood on guard at the bottom of the ramp with his spear in one hand and my last two venom spheres in the other. "Here they come!" he shouted, just as the engines began to whine. A moment later I heard an explosion as one grenade detonated at the top of the ladder, then another more muffled one a couple of seconds later, as he expertly lobbed the second into the confined space below. "We've got power!" I shouted back. "Get on board!" I heard his footsteps running into the bay, and I fired up the thrusters before the ramp even registered as closing. It didn't stop my twin from reaching the co-pilot's seat as we took off from the rooftop and left the sloth in our wake. Or at least the ones on the planet. I could see why Captain Everett had been so confused when we'd arrived, because the readings I was getting back from the scanners were indistinct and diffuse, but there were still definitely ships above us. They didn't seem to be altering their orbits to intercept us yet, but we'd only just taken off. There was still plenty of time for them to do so, and we were in an unshielded, unarmed, virtually unarmoured craft that was little more than a flying transit carriage. "What are your intentions?" Omegon asked, as we climbed rapidly through the blue until it began to darken into the inky darkness of space. "Stick close to the flank of one of them, so they dare not shoot us down." I checked the chrono in my helm again. "I doubt we'd make it that close, nor do I particularly wish to find out what surprises their vessels might be able to deploy at that range." "A fair point," Omegon agreed. "No," I continued. "I will avoid them for as long as I can, and have faith."
"Faith?"
Omegon's voice betrayed his sudden uncertainty. "You spoke of how some have declared the Emperor a deity. You never said you shared this belief." "I don't," I told him. I eyed the scopes. The blurs indicating sloth ships were beginning to shift. Clearly our ascent had been noticed. I didn't know what sort of range or type of weapons they bore, but they had been sufficient to give a Gloriana-class battleship a great deal of trouble. If they landed a hit, they would obliterate this shuttle in an instant.
"Then in what do you place your faith?" Omegon pressed. "Fate? Destiny?"
Something flickered into view on the scopes. Not a Tenebrous sloth ship, but the hard-edged return of a human vessel. An Imperial vessel. I smiled. It seemed that my calculations of how long it would take for reinforcements to arrive had not been greatly in error, even allowing for the inconsistency of the Immaterium.
"The Legion, brother."
Additional warp signatures resolved, one after another. A 20-strong battle group, led by the Beta, had come out of the warp at the Mandeville Point and was now burning at maximum speed towards Bar Savor. I do not know how the sloth navigate the warp and what preparations they require for it, so I do not know whether they chose to fight or simply had no opportunity to run. Whatever the reasoning, we immediately ceased being of any interest to them as they turned to meet the oncoming assault. Many against one, they had overwhelmed the Beta. One-on-one, they would have given many of my ships a stern test. This, however, was fleet warfare, and the Xenos had no chance against the precision strikes and group tactics of my Legion. They fought viciously, but independently, and they were exterminated one after another. "We would not be retaking Bar Savor today. That would lead to too many questions when our combined offensive with the Dark Angels reached it. We could, however, teach the Carrion Lords a lesson that would stick with them, and while so doing, allow one small shuttle that had fled the planet to take shelter behind and then dock with the Beta." "Come, brother," I said to Omegon, as the readings indicated that the bay had repressurized. "It's time to meet your warriors." It is fair to say that spirits were high on the Beta when we translated into the warp in the aftermath of the fight above Bar Savor. Not only had the Xenos fleet been crippled, and Karnan and Tronin survived for long enough to be teleported back aboard, but the Legion had a second Primarch. This was a source of much amusement, given that the Dark Angels thought we had none, and yet we now had twice the number they or any of the others had. However, as we withdrew to the chamber that had been hastily set aside for my twin's use, Omegon seemed pensive.
"You spoke at great length of your history so far," he said, when I asked him about his mood. "But you never said that our father mentioned me."
"He did not," I replied. "He referred to 20 sons. This is my Legion, but we are one soul, you and I, albeit in two bodies. Therefore this must be your Legion as well, and we must have 19 brothers. I believe all of them will be recovered in time. Each found so far has ascended into greatness on their home world, no matter how harsh the conditions there."
"How can our father not know of me?" Omegon demanded. "He created us."
"Just because he never spoke to me of you does not mean he does not know of you," I told him. "Our father keeps secrets.
Some of them I know I am not privy to. I have no doubt there are many others, the existence of which I have no idea about. I have kept myself secret from my brothers in order to be the sword in the darkness. Perhaps you were kept secret from me because he intended you to fulfill the same role without my knowledge. I do not like that line of reasoning, Omegon muttered. Let me present you with an alternative. I'm listening. When we were scattered, we must have been done so through the warp. He saw my quizzical glance. It is the only known manner in which objects could have been moved so far so quickly. I nodded. Agreed. We do not truly understand the warp, Omegon continued. But it is not like the material universe in any way. The navigators refer to it as the Sea of Souls, I put in, and my twin nodded. Indeed. What if, when we went into the warp, there was only one of us, but when we came out... He gestured between himself and me. You are suggesting that we were duplicated in some way? Duplicated. Split. Omegon shrugged. I have no certainty, merely guesswork. But I know that you are a part of me. As you say, we are one soul in two bodies. I sat back. That would mean our father did not know of you. That no one knows of you, outside of the Legion. Omegon nodded. I can think of uses for that fact, even once we reveal ourselves. I smiled. When we reveal ourselves? You intend to keep me secret from our brothers? Our father? Or you keep me secret from them? I shrugged, mirroring his earlier gesture. The Alpha Legion will need their Primarch to be visible publicly at some point. Half of them look like us anyway. One member of the Legion is the Primarch. All the others are just one of many. Omegon smiled. So when does one of us get himself discovered? Neither of us can pass as an infant to grow up and dominate a society as our brothers have, I said. We could do as you did and approach the Imperium, or perhaps find a system far from the Crusade's front line and rise to prominence there, albeit as an adult. I would like to find and vet the rest of our brothers first, before either of us is known. I suspect we have plenty of time to prepare. If we cannot ascend as a child, why not descend upon a civilization as a warrior god? Omegon suggested. I shook my heads. No gods. I don't trust them, even if it's me. And how is that working out for the Imperium? Lorgar is a fool, I said firmly. He refuses to heed the statements of the very man he claims is divine. If I didn't know better, I would suspect he only wishes our father to be a god so he can lay claim to a manner of divinity for himself. Omegon studied me. He clearly found it just as odd as I did to watch his own face move and react. So which brother do you think we should reveal ourselves to when the time comes? He asked. I considered. I think there is an obvious choice, based on what I have told you of the ones I have encountered so far. What would your instincts be? Omegon didn't hesitate. Horus. I nodded. Horus. Then we are agreed. Omegon sat back. But from what you tell me, he is extremely perceptive. You've laid eyes on him before. I have not. When it is time, I think I should be the one to meet him, to ensure the more genuine reaction. I smiled. Fair enough. But I would love to see it. Omegon smiled back. Don't worry, brother. I'll tell you all about it.